We've been talking about the levels just as a review. So this is an ongoing series. We'll talk about it for however many weeks we go through it. We talked about the five levels of a believer or your walk with the Lord. The first one is this is all review. You can get the message from last week. We put it up in four different places. You can go to relationshipchurch.com and figure out how to connect on that. But as a believer, you're a believer. The second step, and not everybody goes there, is to become a disciple. A disciple is a disciplined follower of the Lord. That means, there's a lot of people, you go, are you sure you're saved? I don't see any difference in your life. But a disciple is one that's trying to figure out, you can be a disciple of anything. But in this case, we're talking about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's, what does he think like? What does he believe? What does he act like? And I want to be a disciple of him. And then the third step is a servant. It means you're going out, okay, where do you want us to assign me, Father? What kind of things do you want me to do? We're not talking about just in the church. We're talking about how do you want me to bring your thoughts and your ways into my job and into my family and be a servant to you and help you bring your kingdom come on earth as it is into heaven. And then the fourth one is a friend. There's a lot of verses on a friend of God, because in John 15 it says, I've been calling you a servant, but I want to call you a friend now, because I'll just show you, because a servant just carries out my commands, a friend knows why I'm doing it. And so there's three people in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And all four of those, we want to be a believer, disciple, servant, and a friend of all of those. But there's a couple other metaphors in the Bible. They're more than metaphors. They're that he calls us a son, and he calls us a bride. And I'm like, how does this fit in? And this is where we start differentiating and starting to learn to relate. Now, hang on. This is a very intense topic, but it's a good topic. Well, you can start learning to relate not just to God, but to each person of the Trinity. You're a son to the Father. You're not a son to Jesus. It says we're co-heirs with him. We're brothers, not like we're God, but we're brothers and we're co-heirs with Jesus. You're not a son to the Holy Spirit. You're a son to a Father. And it also talks about a bride. A bride is not, don't get weird on me. It just shows the level of intimacy he wants us to have is with Jesus. And so we've been talking about, and we're going to get into it more, what does it mean to be a son? Most people, I think out of the Trinity, probably the Father has the worst reputation. Maybe not. But we know that the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, comes and lives inside of you. Ephesians 1 says he comes inside of you and he's a seal of the inheritance to come. And so we always say, invite Jesus into your heart. And Jesus allows us to be saved, but technically we're asking the Holy Spirit to come and live into our heart. Well, Craig, why are you going all these distinctions? Because there's riches and resources as we get to know the individual persons of the Trinity. They have different forms. Jesus is 100% man, 100% God. The Holy Spirit is what? It's pretty obvious. He's a spirit. And then the Father, it just depends on who you talk to. It's a little harder to try to get his form down. But he is some kind of corporal being that sits on a throne and has massive glory, and people are worshiping around him. But we want to talk about the Father just in the next 15 minutes here. And then we'll go into some worship or so. And what I want to talk about, there's no way we're going to get through it all today. It may take 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going to start giving you some attributes, characteristics of the Father. Most people are scared to death of the Father. They don't want to go to him. Either because of bad teaching, he's out to get you. He's judgmental. He's harsh. And we want to start talking through all that. So why would I want to be around the Father? Holy Spirit's pretty cool. Jesus' pretty cool. But I'm going to just ignore the Father. But see, the problem with this is the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. It's so interesting how they work together. The Holy Spirit comes, lives inside of you, and he says, I'm going to get you ready to be a bride to Jesus. Now, as men, we're not going to wear white dresses. It shows the intimacy that He wants us to be. He teaches us to hear His voice. We've talked about in the past that the parable of the 10 virgins. We want to hear His voice. So the Holy Spirit is pointing us to Jesus. Jesus, when He came to earth, He said, I'm here to do two things. Reveal the kingdom, which is a huge topic. He was going to change things from just the old covenant, where He was just a God to the Jews, and He could only meet with them in the temple, or the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. And I'm throwing out a lot of stuff, and I know we could probably make a sermon out of all of it, but just take notes. That's why we have pen and paper. And you go and look at it this week, Google it this week, and just use it as a stepping stone. But He changed it. The kingdom, He changed it. It says, I am going to invite the Gentiles in. And we're no longer doing the tabernacle thing. My kingdom is going to be a spiritual building, not a physical building anymore. It's going to be a spiritual building. In the scriptures, it's called a new Jerusalem. But that's His kingdom. And what does that mean? Just basically obeying the king in whatever domain you have, your family or whatever, and bringing those principles in. But He said, I'm here to do two things. One, to reveal the spiritual kingdom that one day will result in Him physically coming back for a second time. And to reveal to you the Father. Holy Spirit wants you to know Jesus, and Jesus wants you to know the Father. So He must be a good thing. How many of you have watched the Chosen series? Especially the season 4. It's amazing when you watch this. He's coming across with a truth. He's always saying, I'm wanting to please the Father, to reveal the Father. I only do what the Father tells me to do. And we know, so that is a pattern that I want to get to know the Father better. And so we have to sometimes tear down these preconceived notions of the Father that keep Him separate from Him, that we often pick up from our earthly father. Earthly fathers will never be perfect, but are the first line, like with Him, with these four amigos down here, four little ones. He's the first line of showing what is the Father like. Man, what a heavy responsibility. I think that's a truth that needs to be taught more and more in the church. Not that we're God, not that we're perfect, but if they're afraid of us, almost always I see they end up being afraid of God and they have to reverse their teaching. Now, unfortunately today, not in this church, but unfortunately in our community, most people grow up without a father. Or an absentee father. So they don't even know what the Father's like. So we're going to start a little journey here of five nevers that the Father is. And we won't get through maybe one or two. And then we're going to eventually move over to five always. Because I want to redefine for you what the Father's like at a basic level. And then we're going to move into eventually, whenever we get through with that, what does it mean to be a son? Most people, and this is genderless. Okay, if you're a bride, that's a woman thing, but it's meant for men in our lexicon. If you're a son, that's also for women, but that's a male term. He just throws these things around as metaphors. So we want to learn to be sons/daughters. And most people, I'm going to throw out, are probably orphans, spiritual orphans in their relationship with the Father. Because they don't ever think about them, don't ever hear from them, sort of scared of them. And we want to reverse that. So that's where we're going. And as I said last week, I'm going to read it again, Genesis 3:8-9. This is God's response to Adam and Eve when they sinned. They were in the Garden of Eden. They ate from the wrong tree. Doesn't this just show the stubbornness of who we are? We have a whole garden. And all we got to do is just not eat from one blooming tree. I throw myself in there. I wonder what that tree tastes like, even though you've got 100,000 other trees. So it was a thing of obedience. But anyway, they ate from that tree. We know they got kicked out. They went hiding in some bushes, put on some fig leaves. Let me jump in here, Genesis 3:8. So most people think, if you're from a traditional Christian background, they're about to get it. God is about to just wham them. Or am I the only one? Especially if you had a father like that. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So picture this. They're hiding. Let me go on. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man three words. I think everybody in here knows it. That set up. The three words were, "Where are you?" And it wasn't like, "I'm going to beat you. I'm going to get you." He missed the relationship that he had with his son and daughter. "Where are you?" And I think that thing is echoed. I believe in a young earth, whether you believe in a young earth or old earth, doesn't really matter. But if you believe in a young earth, that thing has been echoing for 6,000 years. "Where are you?" I've often wondered if they had repented and said, "I'm here," would they be restored? We'll never know because they didn't repent. They started blaming each other. But that showed what he was like. Romans 8:15. This is Paul speaking out of the book of Romans. "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship." He's reestablishing you want to be a son. See, the Jews in the Old Testament, they wouldn't even say the name Yahweh. And they say it differently. I'm not Hebrew. I don't know how to say it. But they've got this certain accent. They wouldn't even say His name because they thought it was dishonoring. And He's so high and so great. And He is so high and so great. And He's so far away that we can't ever touch Him. A lot of distance. And remember, they basically didn't believe in the rest of the Trinity at that time. The Holy Spirit and Jesus, even though there was not a lot, but there was some proof to it in the Old Testament. But that's another subject you can write down and go Google. They didn't even say His name. See, it's important to understand that background. "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by Him," and this comes from Paul, who was a chief Sanhedrin guy. He knew all of this. He wouldn't have never said before he was a Christian what he's about to say about the Father. "And by Him we cry, Abba, Father." Well, what does Abba mean? Probably the closest in the English is somewhere along the lines of Papa. That would have gotten him off of the Sanhedrin. That would have gotten him kicked out and hit down the road. I mean, that was a big deal. And he's saying, "I'm not just going to say Yahweh. I'm saying Papa, Father." He was redefining it because Jesus came to show us and to reveal the Father, which was their heart all along. Really good. So let's look at the first never. And it sort of really ties in to maybe tag on to what David and Courtney said. Hebrews 13:5, if you want to turn over to there. The first never is this: He will never abandon you. Yeah, Craig, I know that. And I specifically want to tie it in, at least for a little while, and then we'll close out emotionally. I think it ties in well with what they were talking about. Hebrews 13:5. "Believe the truth. I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you." I'm really seeing a healing among the body of Christ physically, but that's an outer healing, you know, our bodies. We often use the word, if you weren't familiar with what the word they were using earlier was, but inner healing, which is just emotional healing. The part you can't see. I am really seeing just the last few years, and it seems to be growing. He's wanting to restore us whole, W-H-O-L-E. Spirit, soul, which is your mind, will, emotions, your memories, as they said, and your future. There's at least five components to the soul. Some theologians, I'm not a theologian, will divide it up differently, but usually they'll coalesce around that. Your mind, your emotions, your will, a past component, your memory, and a future component, because we can often be afraid of the future. And the Lord wants to fill you with faith that He is on your side and good things are coming. But I'm really starting to see He's really wanting us whole, especially emotionally. And this isn't often talked about in the church because it's pretty hard to deal with. It's not hard to deal with. There's not an environment to talk about it. That's one reason I'm excited. You know, we have a women's group and then what they're doing and other avenues. But it can't just be usually a quick prayer at the end. But I'm here to tell you, your earthly parents might have broken many promises. He will never break His promises to you. Well, how come it hasn't happened yet? I've got things He's promised me, it hasn't happened yet. Well, am I dead?
No.
Okay. Very rarely does He put timing on these things. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, went through family breakups? When you were a kid, your parents split up. We are really, for years, decades, our generation, as my generation, I'm 64, so well, it's no big deal. We'll have rights. They'll get through it. Things will be, we'll make it work. And that was just really to justify our actions. We're finding now it is devastating. It is just devastating. High proportion of crime among teenagers and young 20s is those without a father or from a breakup of homes, runaways, suicides. Not all of them. It is more traumatic than what we realize. And God wants to heal these things. They weren't supposed to ever happen. But they did. It wasn't His will. But He, as we talked about earlier in Psalms, I don't even remember what I quoted in the first prophetic. It was Psalms 115, 16, whatever it is. The heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to man. Would I turn the earth over to us? No way, man. I'm a control freak. Man, we ain't doing that. I know me. This ain't happening. But He did because He believed in us enough. And a lot of cool, good things happened. But a lot of cool, bad things, a lot of bad things happened too. Because He's given it over to man. But if we can run back to Him and He can start emotionally healing these things, and it's important. If you're like me, I grew up, my dad was a commercial construction worker. He's a good dad, but he's definitely wasn't emotional. His grandfather was a coal miner in Tennessee and Kentucky, and everything you've heard about that lifestyle is true. Okay? And you don't cry, you don't do any of this stuff, you just stuff it. And that's sort of been my modus, probably has been my modus operandi for most of my life. And the Lord is starting to go, what you stuff eventually bursts out. You can't keep it stuffed forever. And it usually bursts out at embarrassing wrong times. And so He's wanting to get us free so that these things, we don't have to have some dark spot over in the part of our heart or part of our soul that don't want anybody to touch that. It's not that we're necessarily embarrassed. We're just not sure how to release this thing. It's like a volcano with a cap on it. And I remember years and years ago, I don't remember all the exact circumstances, Susan was like, something to do with our kids when they were little. She was like, how is this affecting you? And I go, I'm mad. How come you don't say anything? Because I will blow up on everybody. It's better just to be quiet than spew whatever it is on everybody. Have you ever been there? And so he wants to heal us so that we're not in fear of that. Courtney talked about it. If you've been through trauma, this can come through words, abuse of all different kinds. I mean, the list is endless. It could be just something somebody said to you at work this week, or it could be a lifetime, like last week Joel talked about the abuse he had in his life, which was a lifetime of abuse. And I know he's been through many similar settings like that to get healed. It produces a shame, fear, insecurity, anxiety, guilt. And most of the time we just don't know what to do with it. And I get it. And so, but I'm telling you, the first step is start going, the Father wants you healed of these things. He wants you delivered. He cares about you. He saw how when He created you in the womb of your mom, He said He saw what He wanted you to be like through wrong actions of whoever, parents, relatives, supervisors, that exercised their will that God gave them, that was selfish and narcissistic. It affected you. He wants to heal those things, and He can. There are so many stories of that. Now, it may happen one time, or it may take a long time. But He wants you whole because you were created in His image, and your image has gotten slightly marred from His image, and He wants to marry it back up. And that's why we need people to help us get there. One of the first ways that this feeling hurt or abandoned is, and not wanting to go to Him for help, is we say stuff like, I'm not all right, I'm not good, I'm not worthy, I'm not important, I'm not lovable, I'm not human, because we've never experienced that before. And as we close, I just want to say the Lord considers you lovable. He considers you worthy. And He wants to have a relationship with you. And those three words have been reverberating for 6,000 years at least, saying, where are you? And we run because of shame, because of guilt. And I'm here to tell you, He will never abandon you. He will never leave you, as Joel so eloquently said last week. He is a good God. And so don't let the devil separate you from Him because of these things, because you don't know what to do. Run to Him and say, I don't know what to do, but You're a big enough God to start restoring it. You're a big enough God, and I want to be healed. I'm tired of this stuff. I don't want to hide it anymore. There is a place. I'm not saying you share all of your story. Maybe you don't share any of your story. But my point is, there's a place you can get to where you can share your story because you remember it, but the pain of it is gone. Amen? All right. So that's a good starter. The first never, He will never abandon you. Let's pray. And y'all can come on up, and who's ever on the worship team, get ready. And so let me pray. Father, I just pray right now. I feel just in my spirit, this is a critical moment. This is a